Thank you very much, Nargis, for reading for us. Please do keep your Bibles open in front of you, page 448. It will be a great help for you, and it will be a great help for me as well as we get into this passage. Well, I don't know if you know the Lord of the Rings stories, but partway through the first of the three books that were written by Tolkien, partway through, with everything beginning to go really badly, Frodo, the little hobbit, turns to the wizard Gandalf and says these words: "I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf turns to him, back to him, and says, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Well, we all face difficulties in life, don't we? We're all either facing some sort of difficulty now, or we know someone very close to us who is going through a season of difficulties, a time of suffering. Perhaps it's physical health, perhaps it's mental health, perhaps it's financial difficulties, perhaps it's something to do with work, or something to do with family or with relationships. Perhaps it's a difficulty to do with fleeing from your own country and seeking asylum here. Or perhaps it's something else entirely different. We all face difficulties. And just like Frodo, we rightly wish that these things had never happened to us. But as Gandalf put it to Frodo, and I'll say it again, Gandalf says this: "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Well, this psalm, Psalm 4, speaks right into those difficult situations, those difficult seasons of struggling and suffering. And Psalm 4 asks us this question. It asks us, will we turn to God when difficulties come our way? Or will we decide to turn away from God? Will we decide to turn to God? Or will we decide to turn away from God? You see, this is a psalm that challenges us. But more than that, this is a psalm that welcomes us to turn to the Lord when things are difficult. Now look, it's not a psalm that answers the why question of suffering. It doesn't give us an answer for that. But it does give us some really good things. Through this psalm, with kindness, the Lord beckons us to turn towards him. With compassion, he reassures us. With hope, he encourages us. And with a glimpse of who he is, he lights a fire in our hearts. So let's pray. Let's pray as we get into this psalm. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us through this psalm, that you would encourage us, that you would show us your kindness, that you would give us hope, and we pray that you would give us a glimpse of the Lord Jesus through this psalm. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are four parts to this psalm, which we're going to look at in order. There's going to be a few points on the screen behind me. And the first point is this: a confident word. Hear me, verse one. So this psalm is written by David. We know that from the little superscript just next to the four there. But other than that, we don't really know a lot about the context that this psalm was written in. We don't know why David wrote it, other than that it was clearly written in a time of distress. So have a look at verse one down there. David points back to a previous time when he was in distress and God gave him relief. Do you see that there? "You've given me relief when I was in distress." And so David calls out to God to hear his prayer. "Answer me when I call. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Now, I don't know what you thought as it was read, but it's quite a bold prayer, isn't it? There's no fluffiness. There's no religious words bulking it out. It's just, "Answer me, be gracious and hear my prayer." It's a confident prayer, not arrogant, but confident. Confident because God has helped him in the past. You have given me relief when I was in distress. You've given me space when I was under pressure. And so David says, in your grace, God, listen again and give me some space again. Help me again. Where do you turn when you feel like God's let you down? Do you turn towards him or do you turn away from him? Well, this psalm is scripture. It's in the Bible. This bold, short, snappy prayer is in the Bible. It's written by David, but ultimately it's written by God himself through David. These are God's words for repeating back to him. This is God saying to you today, Christ Church Central, saying to us collectively and individually, God is saying, it's okay when things are going really badly to scream at me and say, you heard me in the past and you helped me in the past. Help me again, please. This is God saying it's okay to pray that. It's okay to pray this psalm to God. And we can pray it because along with David, God is the God of our righteousness too. Not God of our doing enough to impress him. Not righteousness in that sense. No, this is righteousness in terms of him being a faithful God, him being our true God. You see, the God of Christianity is like a good parent. He's like a good parent at the side of the beach who, when he hears his child struggling and screaming for help, he dives in to come and help. He's a faithful God who hears, who answers prayer, who wants to help, who shows grace. He's not waiting for us to be worth it. He's a God who wants us to cry out to him when things are difficult. The second thing is this, in verses 2-3, it's a hopeful word. David speaks a hopeful word. You see, one of the ways that the difficult seasons we go through can get even harder is when others say or do things that cause us to doubt. And that's what's going on in verse 2. Have a look down there at verse 2, top of page 449. David says this, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Well, it's not clear whether these troublemakers are the problem or whether they're adding to the problem. Either way, their vain words and their lies are turning David's honor into shame. And so David turns to them and to their slandering and says, verse 3, have a look at verse 3. David says, but know that the Lord has set the godly apart, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The Lord has set the godly apart for himself. But you know what? When we read those words, we need to be quite honest with ourselves, don't we? Because they don't describe us. We aren't godly. They don't describe us, but wonderfully, they do describe the Lord Jesus. You see, ultimately, the Psalms are not about us. They're not even about David. They're not about the other Psalm writers. The Psalms point us to Jesus. They are about him. You see, Jesus is the sovereign Lord that is mentioned in the Psalms. And at the same time, Jesus is the one who spoke them most fully, who lived them out most authentically. You see, the Psalms are both Jesus's songbook and a songbook about Jesus. So when you read the Psalms, always think, how or when might Jesus have prayed this psalm? And as we look at this one, we look at verse 3, and we think, well, Jesus personally endured that. He endured verse 3. Have a look down there. On the cross, Jesus was maligned by those who turned his honor into shame. On the cross, people loved vain words and sought after lies. On the cross, people cried out, mocking him. Mark 15 says that they said this, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. That was the mocking that Jesus endured. far more than that as well. But that was the point. The entire point was this, that Jesus didn't save himself. He saved others. You see, we're not amongst the godly in this psalm. We're the ones who joined in with the mocking, to our shame. And yet, in his grace, Jesus went through the mocking. He went through the pain, the distress, the death of the cross for us. He turned his honor into shame, that our shame might be turned into honor. And now, because of that, all those who put their trust in Jesus are saved and are united to him by faith, not because of our own efforts, not because we're good enough or have deserved it, but because of what Jesus did. Psalm 4, verse 1, the Lord has given me relief when I was in distress. That ultimately points forward to the cross, where the Lord Jesus died for us, where he rescued us, where he reconciled us back to the Father. But more than that, more than all of those wonderful truths, we have been joined to Christ. We're united with Christ. We're in Christ. Now, a good way of thinking about that is to think about a wedding. When people get married, the bride and the groom come to the front and they make promises to each other, don't they? And one of those promises is this: all that I have, I give to you. And so when we are united to Christ, it's as if the same promises are made. All ours became his. All his became ours. Our sin and shame became his and was paid off on the cross. And all his righteousness, his inheritance, his honor became ours. The promises in this psalm, even though we're not godly, because we're in Christ, the promises in this psalm are ours too. And so Jesus tells us to, have a look at verse 3 of Psalm 4. Jesus tells us to know this, that the Lord has set apart Jesus Christ for himself. He says, know this, you are in me and I've been set apart for God, and therefore you have been set apart for God. You, even though we don't deserve it, even though I don't deserve it, we have been set apart for God, and he hears us when we cry out because we're in him. And because he's lived through this kind of suffering, because we are in him, we can pray. We can go to the throne of grace, as Hebrews 4:16 puts it. We can go with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. You see, brothers and sisters, we've got a God, the Lord Jesus, who's lived through difficulties. So whatever it is you're facing at the moment, he understands, he cares, and he sympathizes. But more than that, we have a God who listens when we cry out to him in prayer, because the Lord Jesus is always heard, and we're in him. The world might mock our Christian faith. They might pick holes in our trust in Jesus, but Jesus says to us, says to you, through this psalm, these words, and these words drown out vain words and lies. Jesus says to you, know this, whatever you're going through, know that the Lord Jesus chose you because of grace and set you apart for himself. Know this, that in Jesus, he has set you apart for himself. He's holding you tight in his hands, and he hears you right now when you call to him. That's the second thing the psalm says. The third thing that the psalm says is a helpful word, and it's in verses 4 to 5. So remembering all that we've just seen, therefore, look at verse 4. Have a look down at verse 4 with me. Be angry about the difficulties you're in, but don't sin. Is that possible? Is that even possible? Well, yes. This psalm says be angry with what's going on. It shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way at all. Be upset, be angry, but don't sin. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's not about being stoical. It's not about keeping your chin up. It's not about having a positive mental attitude. No, Romans 12 says this: vengeance is mine. I will repay. Leave it to the Lord. be angry. But verse 4, have a look down at verse 4. Be angry, but ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, the things that we've already seen in this psalm, and be silent. So it's often been said that the voice that we listen to most is our own voice. The voice that you listen to most is your own voice. So this psalm calls us to know another voice, to hear another voice, to ponder another voice, not our own voice. This psalm calls us to speak these hope-filled truths to ourselves, to repeat them over and over and over in our hearts, on our beds at night, that we might, verse 5, trust the Lord. The Lord has saved you. You're his. You're in him. He has set you apart. He's holding on to you tightly. He hears you. He will rescue you again. And he wants you. He wants us to cry out to him when things are difficult. Well, that's the third thing. The fourth thing is down there in verses 6 to 8. Do have a look down there. David closes with a grateful word to the Lord. Have a look at verse 6 with me. David repeats words that have been spoken, perhaps by those who were doubting God's goodness. Have a look at verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Those words, they echo the blessing of Aaron's blessing that he prays in Numbers 6, verses 23 to 26, if you're taking notes. This was a blessing that Aaron was to say over God's people who had just been rescued from slavery in Egypt to be God's people in the promised land. God gave Aaron these words to say, and this is how that blessing went. The blessing of Aaron goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Those who were doubting were saying, and David's not criticizing them here, they were saying, who's going to bless us? Come on, God. You said this. Come on, are you going to come through? Are you going to bless us with the blessing you promised us? But look at the way that David responds. He doesn't criticize them, but rather he pulls apart the curtains to show us what's really going on out there. Even though he's facing difficulties, he says that at a deeper, more fundamental level, the Lord has actually blessed him. The Lord is actually blessing him. Have a look down there at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, you have put even more joy in my heart than others have when their lives are going well, when they have plenty of grain and wine. This is something that David's saying when he's in great distress. You put even more joy in my heart. Now look, this is not a giddy, superficial joy. This is not a kind of a superficial thing. It's a deeper joy. It's a deeper joy. A joy that you can have when you've got tears of pain. It's a joy that comes from tracing the rainbow through the rain. It's a joy that comes from seeing a deeper, brighter, greater hope that always shines as bright as the sun, even if the clouds block it from our view. You see, God has already blessed us with the greatest good. He's given us himself. He's the greatest treasure for our longing souls. Not stuff, not an easier life, but him. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And so, whereas verse 1 talks of distress, verse 8, have a look down there at verse 8, talks about peace. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You see, the Lord gives us that peace that he's promised because he's given us himself. The Lord makes us dwell in safety because we're in him. So whatever situation you're going through, the Lord hasn't abandoned you. He's not given up on you. He's not punishing you. He's with you in it. He sets you apart for himself, and he will not let you go. Hands. You're safely carried by hands that bear the holes of the nails that were driven through to give you relief, to rescue you. You're safe in those hands, and you're safely being carried first that might happen, safely carried through to even death itself, and you will be carried safely into the arms of our God himself. Hope, joy, peace, safety. These are the things that God gives us. But more than that, he gives us himself. For he is our peace. He is our joy. He is our safety. And we're in him. And so whatever we're going through, we can always, always cry out to him when things are difficult. So verse 1 says this, and this is a prayer we can pray with confidence, trusting in God's goodness, trusting that he is with us. So I'm going to read out verse 1. We're going to take a few moments of silence. Maybe you want to echo these words for yourself or for someone else you know. And then the musicians are going to lead us in the final song. So verse 1 says this, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Amen. We're going to take a few moments of silence. What does your heart need to say in response? Yeah.